Welcome, Susan.
Graham.
Thank you.
She's Graham's Aunt Castle.
Yes.
Not grandmother. Graham's.
Graham. Well, we tried to make it sound a little less even granny than that, but they wouldn't go for it. So.
You know, at least you're not Nana.
I know all those
it
Nanas.
Sounds like banana or something.
Yes.
Well, welcome to the show, Susan. And
thank
we noticed,
you. It's delightful to be here.
We noticed, Cheryl and I, when we were looking at your biography and everything, that you have a birthday this month, November the 18th.
Right. Yes.
And Cheryl, we got to sing to Susan, okay? Susan, plug your ears.
Okay.
Cheryl, are you ready?
Hit it, girls.
Cheryl? Did we lose Cheryl? You know what, Susan?
Cheryl will only sing in the bathroom, and I think that's where she is.
I think we lost her. Oh, this is interesting.
Well, it's you and I, kid.
Yeah, well, what do you sing that we can...
we don't need to sing. You know, all of those messages on your phone during your birthday where people sing, the first time it's kind of charming, the second time it's, let's stop, and the third time you want to kill the person. So singing is not necessary.
We weren't going to sing to you. We were going to talk to you.
Okay, talk
but
to
happy
me.
Birthday, November 18th, anyway.
Well, thank you. I'm delighted to be still on the planet.
But I'd like to welcome you to our holiday special, Susan. It's a delight and honor to have you back on Stana Talk Radio, and thank you for consenting to spend some more time with us. So I want to begin with some holiday memories that you have from over the holidays through the years. What is your most favorite Thanksgiving memory that you can think of? Anything from your childhood or presently?
You know, it's a funny thing. My memories usually are of the terrible experiences, not of the wonderful experiences. And I think that's just true of life in general. You know, the way our brains work is when something really bad happens, like the Christmas tree was always falling over, it seems to me, in my memory of Christmas, and the turkey was, you know, split on the sides and steaming because it's overcooked. So those are the memories that pop up. But in general, my memories are good. I don't have a specific one that pops up. And you know, when I was in the south of France with Prince René, but I don't have that kind of a memory. It's usually family and Thanksgiving for us here, because I am an East Coast and a West Coast, is always a little problematic, because Connell's family, my partner in life and my great love, his two sons are here, so we do Thanksgiving here, and then my mom is in Florida, so we do Christmas with my mother in Florida, and then we kind of zip through New York to just have a touch of my East Coast family life and back here. So it's always a little crazed.
Now, your mom's down in Florida. You said she's no longer in New York.
No.
Because I read somewhere that you had some stuff you had to do with your mom for her aging and stuff. You had to deal with some stuff just recently.
Right.
So she's down in Florida.
Right.
Now, is she down there with your sister?
Pardon me?
She's with your sister in Florida?
No, my sister's actually in Boston.
Oh,
you know, we're all sort of spread out all over the place. And my mother's, you know, sort of network of friends are in Florida, and I didn't want to take her away from that and put her into a place where she really didn't know anybody. So
no, not
that's why
before.
She's in Florida. So I'm schlepping to Florida a lot.
Okay. Well, in saying that, do you have any fun family traditions, you know, that you guys used to do on Thanksgiving or Christmas as kids with you, your sister and brother, that you did every year that you had to do because your parents made you? Anything that comes to mind?
you're going to hate me. This is the memory that pops into my mind. Oh my gosh. As a little girl, my mother would, of course, be up all night wrapping the presents and doing the tree, and it was just all this great surprise in the morning, and you'd come out, and there would be the tree and the presents. And I guess a Christmas, probably when I was about six or seven, I'm sure I was younger than that, maybe five, I came out, I opened the presents, and I looked around, and I said, wait one minute, Mother, look at this. Everything is from Santa Claus, and nothing is from you.
Oh.
And my mother, who had been up all night, and all mothers will completely identify, went, what? There is no Santa Claus. Everything is me. Everything.
Oh.
So it was. That's one of my striking memories. And you know, in a way, it's filled with a lot of charm for me. And my mother and I go back over it a few times ourselves over the years and laugh.
Well, you know, did it really devastate you that there was no Santa? Do you remember that?
I think it was devastating and shocking. It was a harsh entry into reality. But, you know, reality is always a harsh entry, let's face it. So you might as well start early.
Yeah, well, yeah.
It's one of the big ones.
Well, what meals did you like? What was you guys, did you have a family thing that like your mother made every year and you had to eat it, or your grandmother and they made you?
We were really kind of, and I still am, although it's not so good for you anymore, a meat and potatoes gal. So it would be the roast beef. That was really my favorite, much more so than the turkey, which never turned out. And I am holding up that tradition, I want you to know, because we make
good
the turkey here. Although I did discover a recipe that I will share with you, which is to cover the turkey with bacon so that it stays moist.
Wow.
Strips of bacon?
Mm-hmm.
Yummy.
That ought to do your cholesterol good.
Yeah.
But I love roast, so I would be right with you. Forget
the roast
turkey.
Beef. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm not a turkey eater.
It sounds like you stayed at a lot of places for Thanksgiving. Which one was your favorite place to spend your Thanksgiving holiday?
Well,
Cheryl, you're back with us. Sorry, Susan.
Yeah, I had to go a different route. Go ahead.
But welcome back.
Thank you.
I would say L.A. because, you know, we sort of do a little bit of the orphans, people who are don't have a connection on Thanksgiving. So it's that kind of a real, really thankful that you have friends, really thankful that you have family, really thankful that you're healthy enough to enjoy the day. And it's that kind of an event.
That's awesome. I'm glad that you do that.
Well, yes, because, you know, we're lucky to be in a place where we can have freedom to do all that and
exactly
enjoy each other. And Susan, do you have a favorite Christmas carol to sing? And what's your favorite Christmas carol to hear? There you go.
Oh,
twofold.
Okay.
Would you like
to
sing?
Well, the first thing that pops into my mind is Deck the Halls, because I like to decorate. So that's the first thing that pops in. I like the whole kind of Christmas, the big tree, and the whole kind of look of it, the festiveness, and so on. Deck the halls with boughs of holly, fa la 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 la.
I can't sing like you, but well, what about do you have favorite decorations, or do you have someone do the tree for you, or you do it yourself?
Oh, it doesn't count if somebody does it for
you.
Yeah,
well, there you
go.
You have to do it
yourself. And I have decorations that I have accumulated and saved over the years, and those are the ones that we use, and they remind you of where you've been and who you've been with. And we have homemade decorations that Connell's mother made, who's not with us anymore, that are just precious and dear, and sometimes we will actually take those if we're going somewhere and put those on whatever tree we have for the day.
We're traveling to Florida or L.A.
Yeah.
What's your favorite song to sing? I mean, to hear, like a famous artist, you know, singing Christmas carol.
I guess, you know, this is awfully cliched, but Bing Crosby and I'm Dreaming of a White Christmas, because as an East Coast person, that's what you, and as a little girl when I would fling the window up and look to see if I could see Santa Claus, it was you hoped it would snow so that he'd be able to land properly. Of course, that was ruined.
By your mother.
By my mother.
Do you have a favorite Christmas story that's your personal favorite?
Well, that you heard my personal favorite. There is some Santa Claus. I do everything. That is my personal favorite Christmas story. Let's see if I can find something a little bit more positive in my Christmas.
Or perhaps a favorite holiday movie you enjoy watching?
I like that one now. It's very famous, and I did a play reading of it, the James Stewart one.
It's a Wonderful Life?
Yep.
It's a Wonderful Life. And you
played
Donna Reed's part, I'm assuming, the wife? Or you just read the whole thing?
No, you know what? I think I was the narrator. We did it at the Pasadena Playhouse, so it was whatever. There is a formal theatrical version of that, you know, play reading kind of.
Right.
I think it was originally, well, I'm not sure. I was going to say done as a radio play. We did it as a radio play.
It probably was. You know, back in the 30s, they probably originally did it, like with Bob Hope or
maybe,
someone.
Maybe. It was great fun to do. And those kind of things, going to, you know, concerts and the Messiah and going to church and listening to choral music and Christmas music is wonderful. We did that Christmas Eve one year in New York with a bunch of friends and walked in the cold from, I have an apartment in the Upper East Side of New York, walked in the cold over to this lovely little church on Park Avenue and heard all this choral music. That was lovely.
That's awesome.
That's a nice memory.
Do you have like a favorite childhood gift you received at Christmas time that you have excellent memories from?
Oh, her mom's gifts.
My mother's gifts. I think the sled, you know, and that's why that, you know, I'm dreaming of a white Christmas. You always hoped for snow. A sled that was, we had a little, was a real little girl in Ballston Spa, which is upstate New York, and we would sled down the hill next to our house, as I recall, which I think was a prison. I know, there's a sort of sadness that runs through my life, if you've noticed here, but... It was a nice prison. I think it was a low-level prison. I don't really remember that for sure. I should go back and visit Ballston Spa and see if anything is still there.
Well, it sounds like you had a lot of fun Christmases. Did you have any major mishaps besides your mom's experience that you
Oh, I remember the tree going over. The tree went over many, many a Christmas. Some drunk person was always sort of stumbling over the tree. That is a very strong memory, that and the turkey burning. But you know, this is part of human nature, and people need to understand this about themselves. When you put down a memory, there's a chem trail that goes on in your brain, and the negative stuff leaves a much deeper impression than the positive stuff.
That's
so
true.
By virtue of the fact that I remember these negative things is not because I was filled with so many negative things. It's because I'm filled with so many positive things that the negative things pop up.
Ah.
Well, were you born outside of New York City, right, or in New York City? What?
I was actually born in New York City, but then we moved to upstate New York, and then we moved back to Long Island, and that's really where I grew up, on Long Island. And
so you had sledding out there then?
Well, it was always mushy. You know, Long Island was not getting great snow. Upstate New York would get much better snow. So, Long
Well, jumping from Christmas, now we're heading to New Year's. See how fast it goes?
Time yeah, life, it's like
yeah.
life itself.
Yeah, that's scary. Well, then we head to your, what was your favorite memory from New Year's? A New Year's party that went awry, or you had a lot of fun attending it, or it sticks out in your mind through the years, or even a recent one that you had a really good time and you said, that's a really great way to bring in the New Year.
Well, I told it to you already. You see, I jump ahead and tell you before you even ask the question. It was going to hear the Messiah out
right, and then rock
into
the
New
street.
Year, into the New
yeah.
Year, just singing your way in a beautiful cathedral and feeling connected to not. And we went with a group of friends and had a glass of champagne in my apartment first, and all paraded over. And it wasn't freezing cold, so you could walk the several blocks. And that was a perfect New Year's Eve.
So what are you going to do this Christmas and New Year's? Are you going to go to New York, Florida, L.A.?
Oh, well, we're going to Florida to be with my mother, and then we're going swiftly to New York. And I think we'll be back here for New Year's Eve, and a friend has invited us up to a party in Santa Barbara.
Oh,
so we may do that, or we may not, because when we go, we leave our children, our cats. Kind of children are adults, they can take care of themselves. But our cats are kind of, you know how cats are. They're like, you left us for the holidays. I will never forgive you.
Yeah.
You'll now have to make it up big time. So we may not go to any New Year's Eve party. We may just have to have champagne with the cats.
Yeah, well, hey, you know, now, is one of your husband's sons a police officer?
No.
Did I read that somewhere? Maybe
you did
that
not.
Was. I thought I read somewhere that
you made that up.
I did. I was trying
know how
to
you are.
Yes, I just make up stories to match.
I know you like to fill in.
Okay, so we'll jump back to Halloween. We just had Halloween, so we went forward. Now we're going backwards to confuse all of our listeners. Do you have a favorite Halloween costume you wore to a party or something that was so hysterically funny you wish you would have never worn it?
Well, I remember a very early Halloween back in Baldwin Spa, New York, and it was a Halloween parade, you know, a little town. Baldwin Spa was a little town, and there's something really great and why everybody has nostalgia for little towns. And they had a Halloween parade in this little town, and I was, again, about 6 years old or so, a witch. And my mother didn't want me to go into this, so that's my favorite costume. Which I have now incorporated completely into my personality. There was a little girl slightly older than myself who was watching me in the parade, and she held on to me in the back. So she played a farmer, and it was like the farmer had caught the witch, and I think we won the prize in the parade for the most creative costume. But
yay,
it was like an in-tandem costume.
That is funny. That is funny because she was like tandem skydiving.
Yes,
you had
holding
the farmer and the witch. It's going to burn you at the stake or something.
Exactly.
That's cute. Well, last time we had you on back in early April, you were getting ready to go on Broadway in Love, Loss, and What I Wore. See, I just jumped from the holidays right back in
the
summer.
Right.
Really going to confuse everybody. But you went on Broadway, and a lot of our listeners, when we told them you were going, they went and watched the play and were there. It was
really?
So much fun. Yeah, and I know Nathan went and Molly went and some of the cast saw you. And so what was that experience like to go back to Broadway in Love, Loss, and What I Wore?
Well, you know, I'm a theater person. That's sort of my roots, as it is with a lot of actors. So it's always nice to have a theater period of time. And this was perfect because it was just for a month during that hiatus. And I was able to be a New Yorker, live in my apartment, and it was a very much a female experience, and I suspect your audience is very largely female. It was mostly women in the audience. Of course, it was all women in the play. It was extraordinary. I had not been around women in that kind of intense environment and experientially, and it was just very rich and very, very rewarding. I had a great time, and everybody who came seemed to enjoy it and be, you know, just sort of generous and happy, and it was perfectly lovely.
People said who talked to us on the radio show and stuff said they had so much fun and laughed so hard, and they said you guys were just, well, you ladies, I shouldn't say you guys, were wonderful in it. And a lot of people would go outside and hope they'd see you come out. Sometimes you did outside to see the fans, and sometimes you guys were doing other things and going off to dinners and stuff. But they said they just loved it, and they thought it was a lot of fun. And I always wanted to ask people, when you're up there on the stage, do you ever watch the audience and see people, like, if they're not paying attention or they're doing something ridiculous?
Well, you shouldn't be doing that. If you are doing it, it means you're not engaged in the play.
Right.
However, I will tell you, as somebody who's up on the stage, you are distracted by the audience. When people, God help you, open up something and the paper rattles, it's very annoying. When the phone goes off, you want to kill people. We would always stop the play when a phone would go off and say something, you know, sort of hopefully charming, and you know, give people time to turn their phone off.
You think they have it off?
They're supposed to have it off, God knows. But you know, sometimes people are swirling around in their head and they don't think to do the right thing. But you do notice. You do notice, and there's always somebody who falls asleep.
Man.
Yeah.
There's no way.
Not after you pay all that money to go all that way to see somebody, they fall asleep.
A lot of times people go and have dinner before the theater and have a glass of wine or two, and then, you know, you want to snooze.
I think I just lost Pam.
Oh, not Pam.
I just lost Pam.
We lost Pam? First it was Cheryl, and now it's Pam. Shortly it'll be me.
No.
Where did she go?
She was actually on a landline. I'm actually on via Skype. So let me do this real quick. We'll give her just a second to call back in. She was going to move from Love, Loss, and
to my birthday, which I think we covered because it's next week in the real time of this radio show. What am I going to do for my birthday? I'll tell you what.
Okay, please.
Last year, we went to Zion National Park. It was so beautiful and extraordinary a place that I like to mark birthdays with those kind of events. Where for my 50th birthday, I went to the Grand Canyon. And you never forget it. You never forget it. So I'm looking for a place to go like that, and I haven't quite found it. Maybe we'll just go up to San Francisco and go to Muir Woods. We've done that before, so it's not new. I always like to try to do something new. But so that's
Cheryl?
What we're looking for. Cheryl, what happened?
You went bye-bye. We were still here. And,
I just lost you guys completely when Susan was talking about for love, loss, and what I wore, so I'm sorry.
It's like a blackout, Cheryl.
Yeah, it just got
to like
be.
Like you've been drinking too much and you just lost, 10 minutes.
I have never had that happen in our year and a half on the show, to be totally just in the middle of a thing and it just went to a busy signal. So where were you at? I'm sorry I interrupted you.
She was telling us what she was going to do for her birthday. Well, she's planning on doing for her birthday. She hasn't quite picked a place yet. When she turned 50, she went to the Grand Canyon. And so this year she's going to do something big, and we just don't know what yet.
And neither
skydiving.
Does she. Skydiving. No, not that kind of big. Into the, I think one of the ways that one connects to the divine within themselves and the cosmos, the universe, is to be in nature, in where nature is so powerful.
I've got something for you. If you don't go to the ocean, go to Yosemite, to the old lodge.
We've been there. I've done that. I like to try to do something I haven't done before.
Okay.
That was great. And it was that you're right, is an extraordinary place. Anything else pop into your head?
Yes. I'll tell you. Hearst Castle night tour along the coast here. San Simeon, it's beautiful.
Night tour.
Carmel, Big Sur, beautiful area, Carmel, to spend your day walking through the beautiful gardens and stuff.
Mm-hmm. Well, we've done that again.
Okay.
So those are kind of the in the neighborhood places, as it were. You have to go
diving.
A bit out of the way to get to something new. All right, anything else? What about
scuba diving off the coast of Hawaii?
You don't have bucket lists, do you, Susan?
Well, we're writing one even as we talk.
Oh, really? Disneyland. No, I don't know. You'll think of something, some island
somewhere.
Yeah,
there's plenty
cruise,
of things to do.
Cruise ship. But as far as getting back to, I have one more question to you about Broadway. What did you bring back from that experience of working with the Efron sisters, if I said the name right?
Yeah, I think it was the power. This sounds like such a mundane phrase, but the power of women, the power of us. Sisterhood, if you will, and your friends, your female friends, the support that you get from them and that family, which I have not, I have female friends, but this was so intense in terms of, you go backstage and get ready, you're with these five women and then the gals who work backstage. It was just women everywhere, and it was like a part of myself that I had ignored was sort of integrated back into me. That's what I brought back. And then when I came back, I'm going through one of those times in life where a lot of things are off. My husband broke his leg, I smashed my car, his son had surgery, it's just a lot of stuff going on. So that little time was like this little respite, and then everything went crazy. But everybody has those times, and they pass, or sometimes they just keep going on.
I noticed a thing with you in Freeways. The last time we talked to you, you got lost going to Stana's rap party.
Oh, my God,
Then you had your freeway incident with cops and robbers. You need to you need to take the subway.
Yeah, I know. I know. I need a driver.
We'll drive you. Yeah, hey.
Okay.
You'll really have an experience then. So we could, you might want to go for your birthday. Have you ever been to the Grand Tetons?
No. Where are they?
They're close to, Colorado and Utah? I've never been there, but everybody says it's just wonderful. Are they in Utah, Cheryl? I think they're in Utah. Is she here, or did we lose Cheryl?
We lost her to the Grand Teton.
No, I still here. I honestly don't know. I've never been.
I have heard so many people say how beautiful and breathtaking they are, or whitewater rafting, but I, you know,
I'm not
going to
do anything
river.
That aggressive. I'm not going to jump from a. You've got Stana on your brain. She would do all that.
Yeah.
No.
What
I'm
about
just,
Victoria, Canada? It's beautiful.
Yeah,
like
I've been there. That is beautiful.
Well, Susan, you've just been everywhere.
I know. What happens when you've been on the planet a while. I'd like to do that train trip across Canada. I think that would be that would be fun.
Now, there you go. Or even the Phoenix Grand, the train from Phoenix. They have that one where it used to go through for the Harvey girls and stop at all the beautiful desert hotels out there, and you take it, and it goes all the way to through the Grand Canyon.
Up in
Yellowstone. Yeah, and that's a train trip that everybody takes out of that fancy town down there where everybody lives. I can't think of the name of it.
Sedona?
It is Sedona. It is Sedona, and it goes all through there, and it's like a four-day train on an old train, like one of the ones back in the 30s.
No kidding.
That's beautiful. Yeah.
Good.
Do you know actress Barbara Babcock?
Yeah.
She used to take it all the time. If you ever get a hold of her, I think she's in Ireland
right
now.
She's in Carmel.
Yeah, and she's a friend of mine. She takes a lot of those old train trips, and then she writes because she's always writing novels. And she tells me about all these trips she's taken on these trains through the United States, all these old towns that they go through with the big fancy hotels and stuff. But to get us back, we're jumping to Castle because I know your time's limited. From season 3, Knockout, you know, the finale, and then to Rise, the premiere, what do you think is going through Martha's mind about Beckett's shooting, in your mind, of the character of Martha, with what went on with the finale and the opening of Rise?
Well, I think Martha, as any mother, really is concerned about her son. Not that she doesn't like Beckett, she does like her, and she thinks she'd be good for her son, and she would like that relationship to happen, but she doesn't want him to put himself on hold forever waiting for this woman who may or may not resolve her tumultuous inner issues. So I think she has been, during this season, encouraging him to date and get out there and have a life, and if this works out, great, and if it doesn't, you've got a life. I mean, I think that's her attitude.
I think you just read my next question, Susan.
Well, I'm a step ahead, girls. Let's face it.
I know.
This whole interview.
I need to keep up. So Martha, to me, has some of the best heart-to-heart scenes with Castle this season. And I wanted to ask you, which you just answered, do you think she doesn't want to see her son continually pine for Beckett instead of living his life? And
simply
find someone? Okay. I kind of agree with the answer.
Okay. Well, we'll jump to...
You know, that's the thing that I like about the character of Martha, is that she's sort of, let's not sit on the sidelines here. Let's jump in no matter what.
Well, going to Cops and Robbers, where we're going to jump in, you finally have a lot more to do with Stana in that episode. You've got to play at least 4 scenes with Stana as Beckett. And in the vault scene where you guys are all, you know, hostage or whatever, Martha interrupts Beckett when she's helping Castle undo his ties. And did you get a kick out of upsetting all the casket shippers out there when Martha gets to, like, break up the cute scene where they may or may not have kissed?
Of course. Of course. You have answered your own question.
Yes.
You hear all the roar of shippers out there that just went, no!
They're all like, Martha, no!
But once they get together, you've got a whole new show that wouldn't be anywhere as much fun.
I don't know. It still can go in different ways. I hope they do get, I know you don't want them together, but I do. I hope that there can be one show out there that can write a sexy, smart couple that could be a lot of fun. Just think of the interaction with Martha being like the mother-in-law or Beckett's dating Castle and all she has to go through with Martha and Molly's character. But we'll see. I hope we get a little bit of fun. Now, people loved your portrayal in this episode. Do you have any more episodes that are going to focus on Martha this season? Do you know?
I don't know. I did not go in, and I used to sort of go in and be pitching ideas left and right. and now, you know, they have enough trouble writing the mystery to making the mystery work. If the mystery doesn't work, if that storyline doesn't work, then all the other stuff is irrelevant. And I know that the B storyline, the one that I'm in, and Molly, is there to reflect some aspect of the mystery. And I know it's so tricky for the writers to write that I just sort of trust that they'll do the best that they can, and if I have something interesting to do, that'll be lovely, and if I don't, that'll be fine as well.
Now, you know, in Cops and Robbers, Martha leaves the building, and the bank manager is with her. Did Martha get a date, or did she get that loan?
You know, it's so cute, because in the script, that was, he did, you know, say, I'd love to take you out, and if you did, whatever. And they cut the dialogue, but you got it.
Yeah.
I think it worked so much better not hearing what he said, that I thought, oh, that's brilliant.
And
you got it from the whole body language. And that scene was the first scene that I shot. We hadn't done any of the scenes in the bank.
Oh, so
we didn't really even know what the relationship was going to be like. I mean, I'd read the script, so I knew what they intended. Anyway, so that
was
fun.
And he gave you the business card, so we assume Martha's going to get that loan. What was your favorite scene to film in that episode?
Well, you know what was really fun for me was that we were able to collaborate. I gave the writer my favorite line, because it's really such an actor's line, when she says to the bank manager, he says, I saw you at Titania in the park in the 80s, and she said, oh my gosh, how could you remember me? And he said, you were unforgettable. And Martha said, which was my line, well, if I have to die, at least I'm with somebody who knows my work.
Yeah.
That is such an actor, that you want to be somehow acknowledged and remembered for who you are as an artist. So I loved being able to put that line in, and I loved that they left it in and didn't cut it out. And so that is my favorite moment. And the other line that I put in was, he says, I love you, Mother, and I say, right back at you, kiddo.
Yeah.
That's my line, too.
I really liked when Martha was tough, when the guy came up and put the gun right in his neck and was like, look, she's like,
that was the line there in the script was, don't touch my son. And I said, she has to, you can't say my son. The guy's going to say, what are you with your mommy? I said, don't you touch him, you son of a bitch, which I thought was a little more Martha than don't touch my son.
And it was nice to see that Martha Castle finally told his mother in a real way that he loved her. We knew he did, but it was nice to see that. And because before it was when the 3XK killer, and it was to give Martha a hint that he was in trouble. This time it was sincere, like, if we don't get out. So, you know. But
yeah.
So what's up for Martha in season 4? Do you think anything's coming up, or are you just going to sit back and wait and see?
I
Can
like
you give
to
us
be.
Any spoilers?
I like to be surprised, and I have no idea.
You have no idea?
I have no idea. I pitched, you know, because I was a Playboy bunny, I pitched having Martha have been a Playboy bunny, but because the Playboy show was opposite us for 2 minutes, and Andrew said, no, I don't think so. And he was right, because it wasn't around long enough to even do it.
And Hugh Hefner could have been Castle's dad.
Oh, my God. What?
No. I'm kidding.
A thought. Oh,
well, maybe
Lord.
Well, maybe it's David Selby.
Well, David Selby,
Richard,
would be adorable, but I'm sure they will have somebody, you know, far more edgy than David.
Well, he was pretty good as Richard Channing.
He was brilliant.
Those will be fun scenes for you when they do cast Castle's dad. That will be fun for you.
Well, I hope so. We'll see.
Well, so anything special happening for you? Any projects coming up for the summer that you're going to try to do, or your acting school thing that you work with? Anything you want to promote while we wrap up the interview? Anything going on?
Well, I have been on the board of the Screen Actors Guild Foundation. The Screen Actors Guild is the union for actors, mainly film and television actors. And I have been involved with creating an after-school program with an organization in Los Angeles called LA's Best, which goes into underserved schools, many, many schools. About 128,000 young kids are served after school with mentors and art programs. And we've created an art program that goes in, and these kids put together their own monologues, which they write, and then they perform. And this pool of actors, which I'm putting together or helping to put together, will then go and work one-on-one with these kids on their monologues, and then they'll do a little performance. It's like a six-week program, after-school program. And we did a pilot program this summer, and it was really touching and wonderful, and I thought these little kids just all sort of came alive. And it's something that actors give to the audience in general, which is just that sense of being seen. Actors want to be seen, but everybody wants to be seen. And these little kids to be working one-on-one with these energetic, enthusiastic, talented people is just a great gift.
Well, it's almost like parallel to Martha's doing her acting school on Castle kind of thing.
Well, I'm going to go in now that you have said this.
Yeah.
I will have to go in and pitch this to Andrew. Yep. He will probably not do it, but the hell.
But it'd be great.
Give it a swing. And then I got a call from the Love Lost people about would I be free to come back and do another week, I guess, in February or something. They're talking about putting people in for a week. I don't know exactly what the deal is. And I said, well, I'm still working then, but, very often they can work around my schedule. And wouldn't it be fun if Martha actually went and was in Love Lost and what I wore, as opposed
her
to
her film's a little bit
Susan.
Of that. Do they ever, Susan, do they ever travel with that one yet? Have they traveled with it? I know it's in Paris, but have they traveled in the U.S. with this, or it's still just in Broadway?
Oh, yeah,
really
no,
good?
I think they're on the road now. I think they're in Chicago, and I think they're going to take it around. And I know it's been in Los Angeles.
Oh, you would have been
for
there
limited
for that.
Run. It would have been fun here, but you know, Martha's actually in New York, so
yes,
it would make more sense to do it there.
Well, I hope that he says yes to you.
Yes, I do too, so you can pitch stuff to him. I also
we can bombard him with tweets.
I read an interview.
Tweet him to death, girl.
Yeah.
Well, I don't tweet him, but I read an interview that people are trying to get you into Twitter, but you're not so sure of the techie stuff there.
Yeah, this is part of what I'm feeling about my career at this point in my life. I mean, I love acting. I truly do. But I also feel as if there's only a certain amount of things one can do with the time that one has left on the planet. And
right.
I think there's some kind of other interesting things to do, like those train trips.
Yes.
So, I mean, just
and Twitter isn't that exciting.
Well,
no, at least to me it isn't.
Okay.
Been there, done that. You're not missing
like
much. Yeah, I think you'd have more fun traveling and spending time with your family and enjoying these plays that you're doing that the fans can see in the acting schools. So there's these five little questions that I always ask people at the end of the interview to kind of get an idea of what you know, your hobbies are and stuff. So can I ask you these five quick questions?
Sure.
Okay. Last book you read?
I am in the midst of reading The Help. That was made into a movie.
Mm-hmm.
Great movie. I saw it. I loved it.
Last
don't eat the pie.
Last song you sang or heard?
I'm Dreaming of a White Christmas because I sang it to you.
Last thing you ate?
Piece of pineapple. How healthy is that?
Yes,
perfect.
Very healthy, very healthy. Biggest pet peeve?
The barking dog next door. Oh, boy. That is about as tricky as life gets.
That's funny. So the barking dog next door. And let's see. I got to think of one off the top of my head because I don't even have them written down. I usually have them written down. Song, book, movie, pet peeve.
Well, you didn't do the movie.
Oh, yeah. What's the last movie you saw? That's it. See? You helped me.
Hmm.
You're giving me my lines. You're throwing my lines out there.
Actually, it was a documentary. I am very intrigued by documentaries, and it was about Harry Belafonte and his life, which he has had. He is a real activist. I'm always fascinated
UNICEF.
By people who are activists. But, no, his whole life he has been from one cause to another. So that was fascinating to me.
Great. Well, we appreciate you being here, coming back a second time. It's always a delight to talk with you. If you ever want to come back and promote anything, as long as we're here doing Stana Talk Radio, as long as Castle is here, I think. I hope Castle goes a long time. What do you think he's going to do, 6, 7, 8 seasons, you hope?
Yeah.
I do, too.
Yeah.
I hope so. But you don't want the couple together, and I do. But hopefully,
well,
maybe we'll get a
season. Well, I just think it's kind of, you know, more fun.
Well, it is fun, but it could be fun afterwards, too.
But, you know, do you watch Bones? Because it's sort of similar
yes.
to our show.
Yeah, yeah, they are together this season.
I watch Bones, yeah.
And how is it going? I only watched the show once, but I like her. He seemed to be a little overwhelmed by her presence, but
she plays that character. Emily plays that character very well. Extremely intelligent. Some of the scenes I don't really get into. I mean, Castle has its own flavor.
Yeah.
You have a funny episode and a serious one, a dramatic one rather, and it has a lot. It's more of a well-rounded show. In Bones, it's very much about the science itself, and then you have this brainiac, Emily. I'm probably caricaturing all these people incorrectly. I've only watched Bones like 12 times.
I've watched it twice.
But I have watched the premiere, which was last week, and I am going to watch it this Thursday night because they are together. She's pregnant in real life, and so they put that in the show.
I see.
She's an
okay.
interesting character. More so than the other ones, but I think I like the old. I don't know if you were into Heart to Heart with Stephanie Powers and Robert Wagner, that kind of show, or McMillan and Wife, Remington Steele. They made it where couples could be together and have a lot of fun and still be sexy and enjoyable after a certain amount of time where they were apart, like 5 years. After 5 years, the fans get kind of restless with that they're never going to get together thing. And then they let them go a couple of years where they are together. Scarecrow and Mrs. King was another one where they finally let them get together, and you get a year or so of a lot of fun. She'd get both.
I see. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, you girls are like the source.
Yeah.
So do you know, for me, who doesn't
watch
anything?
We're brainwashing you.
I wanted to wish you a very happy Thanksgiving, and above all, a very
me
happy
too.
Birthday on the
Thank
18th.
You.
I'm a
Thank
November
you.
Baby, so we got to stick together, us November babies. And,
yeah,
and
sure.
Tamala's is on the 12th.
Tamala. And, well, I am a July baby, so.
Oh, well, that's when
I'm a
summer baby. Is.
See, we're okay. great. What's his?
Yeah. The 20th.
Oh, so he's a Cancer.
Yeah.
He's a Cancer. I'm a Cancer, too.
Okay.
Well, it's wonderful to have you here, Susan. It's been a lot of fun.
Thanks.
You are very entertaining and very lovely, and it's really sweet. And I wish you a very happy Thanksgiving, happy birthday, Merry Christmas, Happy New Year, belated Halloween.
Oh, my God. I'm overwhelmed with wishes. Thank you, ladies, and my best to the fans, and it's nice to connect with you.
And they'll love hearing from you tonight.